You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined once again by Harrison Fagan. Harrison, I've kind of noticed we're on a bit of a downturn with our show quality. We've been kind of struggling through December thus far. We could really get off of this losing streak. Should we listen to Kyle Kuzma? What would you say is the best advice to take regarding coming back from a losing streak?
Well, so Kyle Kuzma advised media members today that the best way to end a losing streak is to win. And so that is big as true. But I would imagine there are probably like ways that we can win that we should probably look into rather than just like that we should win. But that was honestly that was hilarious. Like Kyle, if somebody asks you, how do you end a losing streak? You should definitely tell them by winning a game. That's hilariously snarky. Me as somebody who is very dry and sarcastic, I appreciate the level of snark in that Kyle Kuzma response. But I think if we're looking for deeper reasons why the Lakers have struggled, it's probably going to be turnovers, which is what we're planning to talk about on today's show.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I pictured Magic being behind the talking points today. So like, guys, it's simple. All you guys need to do is win. And everybody's just like, oh, thanks, man.
Like, what? He's like, it's like DJ Khaled always says. Like, you guys listen to DJ Khaled, right? He's got his backwards cap on. Yeah. Hello, fellow players.
Hello, fellow children and millennials. Hashtag
I
millennials.
I used to pass, too.
Andrew Bogut's in the back like, the hell, mate. All right, so we are going to talk about turnovers as we promised yesterday. We are going to deep dive. Harrison did some research and pulled up some numbers regarding it, and I'm going to put those numbers into some context. So that's going to make up the bulk of the show. And then on the back end, as promised with our draft.com bet, that we basically promised that if you beat both Harrison and me, that you would get to come on the show for a segment. I blew it and forgot to enter myself into the draft last week, so all that somebody needed to do is beat Harrison, and I won
the whole thing.
Oh, so sweet. I don't owe you $10 then. That's good.
Yeah, you owe me money, and you also owe Olivia money, but don't worry, she got into that.
Yeah, I'll make sure to send that on her. I'm trying to find the best way to explain that to Jen. Like, hey, I have to send $10 to this girl who you've never heard of before. Like, this should go over well.
I think $10 is small enough that you won't get in trouble.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like a really cheap baby. Like, the cheapest baby.
This is how we get fired.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the turnovers here in a second. But as always, make sure you're following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, and Lakers Outsiders. Harrison,
Play draft with us tomorrow. You too earn. You too can double whatever money you win from Anthony if you beat him.
I gotta. At some point, I might stop doubling everybody's money, but we'll see.
Yeah. Use that promo code LO Lakers. You get a free $3 entry.
You went through the numbers, and what was the stat that during your research jumped off the page the most at you?
Well, so honestly, the thing that jumps off the page the most is just the Lakers' turnover percentage overall. They're turning over the ball 16.5% of the time, which is nearly a fifth of their possessions, and it's actually been even worse this month. During December, they're turning the ball over 20.3% of the time, so over a fifth of their possessions are ending in turnovers, which is, that's like the scene from Anchorman when Will Ferrell comes home and finds Baxter and he's eaten a whole wheel. He broke into the fridge, like pooped inside of it and ate a whole wheel of cheese. Like, if you turn the ball over on a fifth of your possessions, that's almost impressive. Like, I can't even be mad about that. Like, if you're an NBA team and you found a way to turn the ball over that often, that's, like, legitimately kind of amazing. And I think the other number, as far as individuals go, that jumped off the page at me was that, like, most of the time centers, not high turnover players. Now, again, this is not like a huge sample size of minutes, but Andrew Bogut has turned the ball over on 31.3% of his possessions. He's played in 14 games, so it's not like a completely insignificant sample size either. Like, it's not a huge sample size, but it's not that big. And the other thing that jumped out is that Lonzo Ball actually hasn't been that bad about turning the ball over, only 13% of the time, which normally you'd be like, oh, it's a team with a rookie point guard, that's why they're turning it over. There have actually been a lot of guys that have been way worse than that.
All right, so let's backtrack a little bit and put into some perspective here what's going on. So I wanted to talk about the idea of basically every fifth possession is a turnover, right? And the reason why I think, like, the Lakers defense lately has been slipping. It was number four for a little bit at its peak. It dropped down to number seven, and I think right now it's at number eight in the league, which is still insane, which is still incredible. But I think as these turnovers have mounted, it's had kind of a cumulative effect on the Lakers. Now, yes, in December they are turning the ball over than at any point in their season thus far. And we're only a few days into it, almost a week into the month.
And they're playing better teams. I don't think that that's been a coincidence.
Yeah, I think all of these things come into play to affect the way the Lakers have played both offensively and defensively. But when you turn the ball over, that has a really negative effect on your defense, because more often than not, especially if it's a live ball turnover, your transition defense, most of your offensive players are in no way, shape, or form ready to race back on defense. So those live ball turnovers, whether it's a bad pass or dribbling, you know, somebody steals the ball from you while you're dribbling or what have you, those plays oftentimes do not wind up very well for the defense. And all of that is taken into account when you're talking about defensive rating. I want to keep talking about this because the context behind it,
I actually have some numbers on those things specifically as well that we can get into.
Yeah, just the spitting out number diarrhea can get kind of old. So it's important that we offer the context that we possibly can. And I believe people, you know, whether it's Luke or Lakers players, have also given their two cents on the idea and on the issue of turnovers. So we have all of that coming here in a second. All right, so it sounds like you did some work while I was filibustering there for a bit and found some numbers on live ball. I'm hoping.
Well,
live
so ball. I actually had those pulled up already. I had it because we were going to get into this, and this is one of the reasons why the Lakers' defensive efficiency, I think, has been, I don't want to call it fake, because they've obviously played good defense, but it hasn't had the same effect on their offense that you would necessarily expect it to, or it hasn't had the same benefit on their offense as you'd expect it to, because normally you expect when you play good defense, you're going to generate turnovers mm-hmm. and you're going to generate fast break opportunities. And the Lakers play at the fastest pace in the league right now. They're according to NBA.com, they have a pace of 105.32, which means that that's about how many possessions they're averaging per game. They have the fastest pace in the league. So you'd think, like, okay, they're getting out in transition a lot, and that's true, but the problem is that they're barfing up the ball and barfing up all over themselves figuratively when they get out in transition. Yeah, they're turning the ball over on 18.1% of their transition possessions, which is, like, that's really not good. And then the other thing there is that a lot of the time those are going to end up, you're going to send a team right back down your throat if you turn the ball over on those, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that, like, intuitively makes sense to you?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. you have numbers going one direction. That means if it immediately goes back the other direction, you're at a disadvantage the other way.
Yeah, and so the Lakers have actually defended in transition fairly decently. They're giving up 1.0 points per play, 1.08 points per play in transition, which is, like, around middle of the pack in the league. Like, that's decent. And so, but the problem is that, like, that's not as good as their normal defense. And so it's still a more, even though they've defended transition pretty well, they still aren't defending transition as well as they defend overall, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, so that's still usually don't the case give with up. All teams.
Yeah, and you so you still don't want to give up a ton of transition possessions, and like they aren't, they're around middle of the pack in the league in terms of like frequency of opponent transition possessions as well. But those, again, like all that stuff adds up. It's like a point here, a point there, and then all of a sudden you're losing these close games. And so I think those are a big part of the, I know I just, again, as you said, barfed up a lot of numbers, but I feel like those make sense, right? Like basketball wise.
Are you under the weather? Because you've mentioned barfing a couple times now.
No, I'm just a germaphobe, and it's flu season. And they're like, honestly, like, it's my last. I'm about to finish up at the Daily Titan newsroom. You guys know that, like, I'm the managing editor there. And we got, like, 3 days left, and I'm trying to avoid getting sick. And there's, and you mentioned vomit, and then, like, a lot of people, and I'm sorry to keep saying that, but then there are, like, a lot of people with the stomach flu, and I've been very worried about it. And I'm sorry, guys. I let you down.
I just finished eating. I'm glad I ate before I hopped on here. Otherwise, I would have wasted that trip to Del Taco.
Well, I mean, like, if you think about it, I mean, like, turnovers are the basketball version of vomit. Like, you don't want to see them.
And nobody benefits on your side of the ball.
And speaking of that, I'm not going to say the word again, but the Lakers are now running suicides during practice to be punished for turnovers. So, you know, they might be doing a little bit of literal vomiting, too. Get the trash cans out. The Lakers' former coach is back in the building,
Only if the former coach was there. He would make sure that, like, that was one of his...
He's like, oh, you're turning the ball over? Here's a trash can.
Here's my playbook. I mean, the trash can. But
same thing.
So to get back to the turnover issue, and the reason I'm looking at it... So usually when you think turnovers, you think of the impact that it has offensively, right? That... It's plays that don't feature a shot. If you're not shooting at the basket, you have no chance at all at scoring there. But
thank you for clarifying that, Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah,
but we should ask him, like, Kyle, what's the best way to score a basket? That's next. Well, you make it.
It'd be funny if he was like dunk and not shoot or something, you know. But
well, for him, it's not dunk. He misses all his poster dunks.
That's probably true. But so the reason I'm looking at it more from the defensive side of things is because that has spurred the Lakers' success when they've had it this year, is that they have been a much, much exponentially better defensive team than they have been an offensive team. And
yes.
So anytime,
way, way better.
And to, as everybody would have predicted, by the way, but
yes, all of us experts.
If that defense starts to slide and your offense remains the same, well, guess what's going to happen? And then you combine that also with the toughest stretch of your schedule. It's going to look like it has looked over the last week or so of Lakers basketball. Now, it does say something that despite those issues, they were close there with the Warriors, and it was the full Warriors roster. And the next time they play the Warriors, it looks like they won't have Steph Curry, who sprained his ankle. And then they lost the close one to Denver, and that was a frustrating one because it felt like they really should have won that one. They were
and they allowed a 15-0 run to end it.
Yeah, which was just I guess I'm not allowed to talk about Luke's coaching anymore. But the reason all of these things are kind of manifesting at the same time, I think, gets back to how much harder you have to work on almost all other facets of a basketball game when you turn the ball over. It makes you have to run back on defense faster. It makes you – you're not seeing the ball go through the rim, so there's a psychological issue there as well. And just it throws
everything. If you're turning the ball over the second most of any team in the league – you're right. You have to be basically perfect in every other area on offense to be able to survive that. And the Lakers are very much not perfect in every other area on offense. And so I think that's one of the like they can't shoot for crap. They have the 26th true shooting percentage in the league. They're like probably worse than that in threes. I don't have that directly in front of me right now, but. That, like, they've just been a pretty awful offense. Yeah, they're literally last in the league in threes, 31.5%. And so they just haven't been perfect otherwise. And so if you're turning the ball over that much, you're killing yourself. You're running figurative suicides, I guess. I don't know if that was the right word usage.
It's close. I want to, there's a couple more angles to this that I want to get into as well. And the one issue that can sometimes arise when you're analyzing basketball is just to point out the negative and not find ways to maybe turn things around. So I want to talk really
Wait,
quickly.
When I specifically analyze basketball or like the royal you?
The general you.
Okay.
Like in people in general just spend a lot of time crapping on players and not finding ways to improve it.
Wasn't a subtweet of me at all.
You can take it however you want to take it. So
that was mean.
So to put a bow on this, the Lakers apparently the way that they're hoping to go about turning things around is to run back and forth up and down the court. Which is an interesting way to do things.
You can't prove that won't solve it, Anthony.
I mean, personally, I would like to, you know, this is probably still going on with like tape review and situational review, and half court actual running these things. So I doubt that it's just the suicides that they're hoping to turn things around with.
I would say most likely that's not their only plan.
With the previous coach, that was so.
Yeah, fair enough.
But ways that they can turn things around here. The first thing that kind of comes to mind for me is: do they consider playing a little slower? Do you think they're playing too fast for their ability right now?
That's actually a good way to look at it, and no, I don't think so, because even though they're, you know, like as we mentioned, they're turning the ball over a lot on the break, I still think that long term this team is going to want to play pretty fast. And I think if you're not playing fast with this team, then really what are you doing? Right. It's not like their half court offense is going to be able
to. They're not getting the half court.
Yeah, I think that it's making the best of a bad situation. Like, they don't have other good options. This isn't a good option, but it's not a horrible option. And the horrible option would be like, all right, you're turning the ball over way too much. Let's have the least fast team in the league and just, like try and grind out these games with just our defense. And maybe that would help the defense a little bit. I don't know. The defense, I think, is already about peak where it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not going to help the offense. Like, you can watch one quarter of Lakers basketball and see that slowing things down and playing more half-court possessions is not going to help this team at all on the aggregate.
The next way that I was, and I agree with everything you're going to say, that you said there. There's no need, and there's nothing I can really add to it. But the next thing that I was thinking that the Lakers,
genius, so.
Spock. But the next thing that kind of comes to mind in ways that can turn things around in this facet of the game are the guys that they're playing, right? Andrew Bogut, in his 14 games played, is a turnover machine, which if your center is a turnover machine, like usually your center, when people think center, and Brook Lopez isn't the typical center, but when people think center, they're catching the ball closest to the rim, right? Of anybody on your team who is going to catch the ball, their average proximity to the rim tends to be lower than other guys on the court. And when you turn the ball over, when you're closer to the rim, that means you should be shooting a higher percentage of those shots that you could be taking. And instead, the ball is going in the other direction. Now, fortunately, when the ball is turned over close to the rim, whoever gets the ball on that defensive possession now has to weave through a good bulk of the Lakers getting back. So long as Bogut isn't turning the ball over from the perimeter with bad passes and live ball passes that are getting tipped, those turnovers aren't as immediately damaging as, say, a point guard who is making a bad pass to a wing that gets stolen and there's nobody between the guy who steals the ball and the rim. Like, those two things aren't quite the same, but it's still an issue.
And it's actually, it's been an issue for, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's been, you mentioned Bogut being a big, but of the Lakers to play consistent kind of minutes, the next closest guy in turnover percentage is Julius Randle, and then it's Larry Nance Jr., and then it's Corey Brewer, who you would not necessarily really expect.
Actually, you would, because he just... Like, you talk about playing true. Too fast.
Yeah, I get, and probably some turnovers get credited to him that probably aren't his fault, just because he's always running for outlets. And then the next is Lonzo Ball, and then you're starting to get into, like, the other guys. But I think the only big guy that hasn't struggled to turn it over, and you're going to be able to guess this pretty easily, is Brook Lopez. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another reason why you see the Lakers continuing to go to him, even though he struggled, is because they know at the very least he's going to be able to get a shot up, and he's not going to, like, give the ball to the other team without anything happening. And that's a big part of why he continues to have value for the Lakers, and why he continues to have one of the team's better net ratings despite his shooting struggles, I think.
Right. And the other thing that doesn't get talked enough about is how hard he works on the defensive side, challenging everything. So
yeah, he has, like, I think still the most shot contests in the league.
Yeah, so it's tough with Lopez, because you see this big lumbering guy and he sticks out like a sore thumb because everybody else on the court looks like, you know, gazelles who just want to run up and down the court.
Whenever he messes up, it's like a lot higher profile.
Right, right. I mean, it's just picture a giraffe running alongside gazelles, right? It seems like an apt comparison here, right? Would you say?
Yeah.
So you mentioned Corey Brewer, you mentioned Andrew Bogut. And the hope was when Larry Nance Jr. came back from injury, the hope was that he would get the bulk of Andrew Bogut's minutes and that Kyle Kuzma could slide up and play the three and take Corey Brewer's minutes. And that if that was the case, those guys, now Larry Nance Jr., you're saying, turns the ball over to a large extent as well. But I just think those minutes would be more productive than having Andrew Bogut and Corey Brewer in there, not really serving anybody's purpose.
Yeah, Josh Hart has been pretty secure with the ball when he's been out there. He actually ranks fourth on the Lakers in turnover percentage on the Lakers, so with only 10.9%. So, I mean, that kind of goes with his role, which is just kind of spot up shoot. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's as much his decision making as just how he's being used. I think if you saw the Lakers ask him to be a little bit more creative, he might start to struggle a little bit more. But that's good. They shouldn't be asking him to be more creative. That's a perfect role for him. Mm-hmm. And so that's good while he's out there. And yeah, I mean, Nance has struggled with turnovers, but he brings other things to the floor, whereas, like, Andrew Bogut, I think, really should only be break glass in case of Joel Embiid.
Yes, and even then,
the Lakers face this week, so we'll have to break the Bogut glass.
Blake Griffin's all excited right now. Yes. Oh wait, no, not like that then, huh?
Yeah.
The other thing too, that I think is going to help with the Lakers is, look, these guys, look down the roster. Brook Lopez has never played with any of these guys here. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has never played with any of these guys here. Jordan Clarkson's playing in a different role than he's played the last couple of years. Julius Randle, same kind
of thing. Jordan Clarkson, going with his shoot first, shoot always mentality, second best on the Lakers in turnover percentage. So that makes sense, because if you don't, it's like that head pointing guy meme. If you can't turn the ball over if you never pass.
Yeah, I like the, yeah, that was perfect. And then I was going to keep going. Lonzo Ball has obviously never played with these guys, let alone in the NBA. Josh Hart, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram's even doing a little bit more creating for others than he has done at other times in his career as well. So I think one of the things that we're going to see as the season goes along, hopefully, so long as these guys actually do get to play with each other and we don't see the injury bug kind of jump up and get them, is just the continuity is going to help with understanding how to run offensive sets, where guys will be on the court, being comfortable being on an NBA court, all of those things. I think the hope is that the offense will get better, and that'll alleviate some of the stress that it has put on the defensive side of things. The Lakers really have to just survive this month that they are going through right now.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough. This is going to be a really, really rough month for the team. They're playing a lot of really tough teams. And so we'll see how it goes, but I'm not optimistic that December is the month that they fix their turnover issues.
No, I think that's
no matter how many suicides they run.
That's a really, man, I hope they turn off the turnover counter for this month. Just say, like, look, we're going to take our lumps, and then in the new year, new me, we'll start running our suicides.
Yeah, the Lakers can, their New Year's resolution can be to stop, like many people waking up on New Year's Day, their resolution can be to stop barfing on themselves.
Or fewer turnovers, like if you're trying to cut pastries from your life.
That's true. Lots of turnovers around Christmas time.
Exactly. All right, so let's go ahead and throw it to Olivia, who is a longtime listener of the show, and we're making good on a bet that we had. We'll see how this goes and how people like it. If we continue to get more engagement on draft.com, if we're able to expand it from, say, the 6-team leagues that we have right now into the 8 and 10 and maybe even higher team leagues, then all the better. And we'll continue to run this as an option.
But you guys got to make it happen. You have to pay it into existence, mm-hmm. I guess.
As a final reminder, just as usual, Harrison will be sending out a link tomorrow with the draft information and where to jump on there. Use that promo
code. Come play
code
with us. It's really fun. It's like I will be sitting there in the newsroom tomorrow anxious that I'm not going to win. And I mean, I'm on a 1-game winning streak, so suck it, Anthony. But I'm going to be looking to keep that going. You should come play with us. You can come on and trash talk Anthony too.
Everybody's favorite day, I think, in the fantasy season is draft day, right? Like that has to be it.
And it's just draft day every day.
Exactly. All right, let's go ahead and talk to Olivia. We'll be back at it again tomorrow when we have some kind of new topic to talk about as well. If you guys, again, as always, maybe we can do a mailbag or something. If you guys have questions or topics that you want covered on the show, make sure you leave it with a 5-star iTunes review and put your question in that comment section right there, and we will get to it. I promise. We're batting just about. I'll tell you what, we're doing better at hitting those questions than the Lakers are at not turning the ball over.
No, yeah, well, way, way better.
All right, let's talk to Olivia and have a good one, everybody.
All right, and I'm now joined by Olivia Beyer, one of Locked On Lakers' most dedicated listeners and a friend of mine now who won our draft contest last week and not only is owed some type of money by Anthony, but earned an appearance on the show to come on and trash talk him. So, Olivia, I'm going to give you the equal time that we promised, and if you have a message for Anthony, now is the time.
Hey, Anthony, I see that you're ducking me just like Lonzo was ducking De'Aaron Fox over the summer. So if you want to Venmo me that $5.40, that'd be nice. But if not, I guess tomorrow when we do the draft again, I'll just take more of your money. So we'll see how it goes.
I mean, to be fair to Anthony, we are bloggers. We are not big blogger brand. Like, we do not make a ton of money. So he actually may not be good for the 5-4, although it is the first day of the month. He should have some money.
All right. We'll see. I'll go in time. I got some time.
All right. Well, yeah. So at risk of worrying anyone else who comes and plays draft with us at Anthony's promise of doubling your money, I think that might entice him into actually paying you so you stop publicly trashing him for not being good for it.
I mean, someone's got to blow up his mentions, right?
Yeah, and it might as well be you. But the other thing that I wanted to talk to, I brought you on to talk a little bit of trash to Anthony because he hasn't paid you yet, and because he's Anthony and he's roasting me every single time that I'm not on the show, so it's only fair. I have not been at the day spa, and he can't correct me right now because he's not here. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, on yesterday's show, Anthony and I talked a lot about the quote-unquote LeVar Ball rule that was not actually made for LeVar Ball but is being enforced because of LeVar Ball. And just for you, you're not somebody who writes or blogs or you appear on podcasts sometimes, but like for you as just like pretty much like a diehard Lakers fan, easily one of our like top 5 most dedicated listeners, I would guess. Like, do you care about the LeVar Ball stuff? Like, what, when you saw these reports coming out yesterday, what was your first reaction?
My first reaction that I thought it was hilarious because there's no way to get LeVar Ball to stop talking. So the whole rule is that he can't talk in the arena, in the family area. So now what's going to happen is everyone's going to follow him outside and then they're going to get street interviews. And what are they going to do? Ban him from the sidewalk? They're just going to keep following him around.
Yeah, it's just like, it's half measures to like just not acknowledge that that's the reason that they're dealing with the problem, because I think obviously, and for obvious reasons, they don't want to offend but him or the Ball family, because that is the guy that they hope is their franchise centerpiece for the next 15 years or so. I mean, I guess like if they're ignoring his shooting right now, but yeah, I mean, that was my thing. It was like, I'm saying this as a journalist who's never even interviewed LeVar, but like, it's not, the man is not hard to get a hold of. Like, he's going to find, he understands how to use a phone. Like, this is not going to be something, if he wants to trash Luke Walton or he wants to trash Julius Randle, I don't think that this is going to be something that stops him.
Oh, no. It's just going to be a relocation of where you interview LeVar Ball. He's still not going to censor what he's saying. Everything he does for my pure entertainment, honestly. I love seeing my daily LeVar quotes. But, yeah, it makes sense for the Lakers to try to, you know, curb what he's saying, but it's not going to work.
Yeah, and so I guess you said that you enjoy them. So I think that he's become a very polarizing figure among the fan base, I guess, because, like, some people are just, they're sick of him. But you're saying this as someone who I know for a fact owns a Big Baller Brand shirt, and... Like, so you find him entertaining. You aren't tired of this. You actually would like to see the LeVar Ball quotes.
It's hilarious. If you watch the CNN interviews where they're arguing about shoes and Trump, like, why is that on TV? But honestly, I'm going to click on the video and I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's kind of like the Jersey Shore, like type of entertainment. It's just like, it's trashy, you know you probably shouldn't enjoy it, but I mean, I've found myself, especially since I've stopped having to aggregate every single thing that he says, I've found myself more and more amused by it. I mean, he's hysterical. Like, how many, the thing today, he sent Donald Trump red, white, and blue Big Baller Brand shoes to show that he's a patriot. Like, that's the ultimate troll, that's like the biggest troll move I've ever seen.
Yeah, and he got three pairs of those red, white, and blue ZO2s, and they're the only three in existence, I'm assuming. So
well,
that's some premium,
like,
quality.
Yeah, I mean, they're the only thing. Well, we don't know if they're premium quality. I mean, maybe this is actually his way of trying to take out Trump, given how quickly we saw Lonzo go down with those Big Baller Brand shoes in Vegas. Although I guess they've redesigned them since then. Maybe they're like safe to wear without shattering your ankles now.
I'm sure Trump will tweet about it eventually, so we'll see where that story goes.
If we get a Donald Trump ZO2 shoe review out of this, then that's really all we can ask for is the human race. I think, like, we can hang it up at that point.
LeVar's gonna save America.
Yeah, he's like we're gonna get, like, in like 2 weeks, we're gonna get a tweet from Donald Trump at like around 3 a.m. that's just like the Lonzo Ball shoes are trash, they're overpriced, they aren't even good, I tried to play pickup in them and fell down, like, you know, we're gonna get...
Oh, no way, Trump is not playing basketball. If anything, he's gonna wear them on a golf course. Oh my god.
Yeah, actually, that's probably true. It would be on a golf course. But before we straight it too far down the political spectrum, I guess, like, why do you think that, like, because I mean, you talk with other fans and like, so do I, like, but why do you think that people get irritated with LeVar? Because I don't know, I just find him entertaining.
I think people that don't like LeVar take everything he says too literally. So he never lost against Michael Jordan. Yeah, he never lost, never played him. And then he'll be like, and then MJ says that he would beat him with his eyes closed or something, and LeVar retaliates and says, okay, I'll tie one arm behind my back. It's just people that get upset by that. It doesn't make sense. It's not going to happen, first of all, this fictional 1v1 basketball. Just take what it is and laugh at it and scroll through the next tweet.
Yeah, see, that's kind of my thing, is I think the context that some people are missing, like, I mean, some people just don't like him because he's, like, an outspoken sports parent and, you know, other qualifiers that I'm not going to get into. But I think some people, like, the context is lost when this stuff is put into print or it's put into written word. And, like, when you watch him on these videos say these things, he's basically winking at the camera.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, it's just like it's clearly a character that he's playing, I think. And like, it's worked out for them. Like, they have people buying their merchandise. They have people. They were like, him and Lonzo Ball were two of the most, like, top 10, I think, like, mentioned figures on sports Twitter, along with Kobe Bryant yesterday. It's like, like, it's the relevancy of the Lakers, and it's LaVar Ball, like, marketing, like, getting tons of free marketing by people saying his name.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, like, everyone in the Ball family seems to be very polarizing right now, which is how they're building their brand. So it's just, I'm very interested to see where this is all going to play out a year from now. And I don't think it's worth getting upset over what LaVar says. Just see what happens and just take it as it is.
Yeah, I can't wait until Lonzo Ball is, like, actually as good as LaVar Ball says. Well, he probably will never be as good as LaVar Ball says he is, because that's, like, that's a player that can't exist. But when Lonzo Ball is, like, a top 15, top 25 player in the NBA, I cannot wait for the LaVar Ball quotes then. Because, like, what does he do when Lonzo's actually good? He's saying all this stuff when Lonzo's not that great yet.
You're going to take every quote and you're going to multiply it by 1,000. And that is going to be how...
Like, what can he even say that's further than he already is? Like, I'm very much looking forward to it.
LaVar Ball used to surprise me every day with something that he says. And it's getting to a point where he says something and I'm like, yeah, like, I kind of believe you. Like, everything that you say, it keeps happening.
It's true. He really hasn't been wrong yet. Like, you can go back and look at all these quotes, and other than the Michael Jordan thing, like, and I guess, well, no, Lonzo outplayed Steph Curry in that game, so technically Steph has not proved that Lonzo is not better than him. I think we can go with that. That's, like, factually accurate, right, if we just count that game?
Yeah, I mean, you can. Yeah, and then way before this season, he said stuff that was, like, completely true. Because I don't watch TV at all, but I got sucked into watching Ball and the Family. And apparently he told Tina that they were going to have three boys and they were all going to play basketball. You don't have any control over whether or not you have a boy or girl child. And yet, LaVar Ball seems to have everything that he said he was going to have. And... it's amazing.
I mean, the other thing that he spoke into existence on that show was LiAngelo getting caught for stealing. Like, he can't, like, anything he says comes true. I'm starting to get worried that he's, like, actually has magical powers, and he's using them to just put his son in the NBA and not for any greater good.
I mean, I guess we're going to see. The one day LaVar is going to say something that's wrong, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. The blowback is going to be pretty intense, and so that might come when he says LiAngelo Ball is the best player in the draft and he goes undrafted.
Isn't there a LaVar Ball quote that said he wasn't sure if LiAngelo was going to make the NBA, like, months ago?
No, I haven't. If that's true, I have not seen that.
Oh, I saw that. It could have been fake. I'm not going to say I know what source it is, because I don't. But apparently those two are going to go overseas, which... I'm starting to question how good of an idea that is, but I guess we'll see where the other two Ball brothers fall.
Yeah. I mean, I said this on Twitter the other day, but, like, honestly, I'd love to see him with the South Bay Lakers just so that we could get a billboard of Lonzo and LiAngelo back-to-back, and it just says, the Lakers, now with Balls.
Oh, God.
All right.
I bet you LiAngelo would end up on a billboard if he did play for the South Bay Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, you've seen Lonzo. Now come check out his little brother that barely plays for us because he's actually not that good, but he's on the team.
Although, it would definitely raise their ticket sales the G League.
It definitely would. Like, people would go just for, I think, kind of the weirdness of it.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Locked On Lakers. Anthony and I already talked about earlier on the first part of this show the team's turnover issues. We kind of got into it. We did a deep dive on that and whatever else was in the news, because I'm actually recording this before I record that, because we're professionals like that. And you can find the show on iTunes, Panoply, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Megaphone, Spotify. Pretty much Alexa, pretty much anywhere you can always find the podcast, and leave us those 5-star iTunes reviews. We do answer questions out of those. We are going to be doing mailbags, and, you know, as you heard yesterday, sometimes we get segment ideas from there. So we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Thank you.